All right, well, welcome. Thanks for coming to our session. We're going to talk about query tuning, query performance tuning in Windows Azure SQL Database. So before we get started, I recognize a few of you from our session a couple days ago with myself and Thomas LaRocque. Who here is familiar with Windows Azure SQL Database? Wow, quite a few of you. Who has something stuff in production? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, okay, who's just playing with it? Okay. Who knows that if you have an MSDN subscription, who knows that you get this stuff for free? Okay, good. Yeah. Make sure if you have an MSDN subscription, you get this stuff for free, so please use it. All right, so we're going to talk performance tuning. So like this gentleman asked, right? We know how to performance tune. We know how to tune queries, things like that on-premise. How does that translate into Windows Azure SQL Database? Okay, that's what we're talking about. So we're just going to talk about the what, why, and how, right? Why do we want to tune queries? What's the importance for tuning queries? Because on-premise, we understand, you know, we have access to the box, we have access to the physical architecture and things like that, right? We have a little more control over the box, but how does this translate into the cloud where we don't have access to the box? So why is it important to tune, right? So, especially since, you know, it's a little more hands-off as far as the physical infrastructure of the box. What tools do we have available to do our performance tuning? How do we use these tools to better the performance of our Windows Azure SQL Database, our queries, things like that? And then Grant's going to show us how, right? Basically, dive deep. You know, we got one of the greatest DBAs on the planet to show us how to do this. No, the other Grant. All right. So, quick introduction. Grant, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Grant Fritchie. I am the scary DBA. This is my contact information. I'm not going to give you an about slide and all this crap about what I do and how many years I've been in the business. No one cares. What you want is answers to questions. Here's where you go. If you have questions, please, please, please get in touch. That's all I've got for an introduction.
Perfect. Same for me. There's my blog. There's my...
He's handsome.
That's right. I get confused all the time with this gentleman. No, so there I am. All right, so there's my, I'm actually a Windows Azure Technical Evangelist for Microsoft, right? There's my contact information, just like Grant said, enough.
Yeah, oh, and actually I don't work for Microsoft, so everything I'm saying just as an individual.
Right, so this is why we brought Grant in, right? Grant's got real world experience as far as working with Windows Azure SQL Database from real world experience. So, oops, so why tune queries, okay? Let's begin briefly by talking architecture, right? It helps understand what's the difference between on-prem SQL Server and Windows Azure SQL Database and the architecture. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we need to understand that it is Windows Azure SQL Database is SQL Server. The same technologies that you use today, ODBC, ADO.NET, still talks TDS, right? Over 1433, it talks to SQL Server. There is SQL Server in the platform layer. There are SQL Server machines running SQL Server 2012 right in the box. So it is SQL Server. The difference here is that it's physical administration versus logical administration. In Windows Azure SQL Database, this is PaaS, platform as a service versus infrastructure as a service, right? So Microsoft, we are handling all the infrastructure. We're handling the management of the box. So that's why when you open SQL Server Management Studio, you don't see a lot of the things you see when you nodes that you see when you log into an on-premise SQL Server, right? So we're handling all of the infrastructure for you, right? The load balancing, things like that, right? So this helps to understand that, okay, since you don't have access to the physical box, how does performance tuning apply in the world of the cloud? That makes sense, right? So we just have the services layer. We're not going to get into that. This is just when you go through your connection. The connection goes through the services layer to route your connection, provision new databases, things like that, right? But it's physical administration versus logical administration. We're handling the logical. You get to do things that you love to do, right? Who here likes to spend time patching SQL Server and doing a lot of the maintenance and things like that? Come on, raise your hand. Nobody?
Come on, Sunday night. Oh, you want to be in here patching, right? You don't want to be home and watching Game of Thrones. You want to be at patching servers.
Exactly, right? No? So we handle that stuff. We let you do the things you like to do, right? Write queries, performance tune, things like that, right? The things you know about. So we handle that. So how does this translate into writing queries? So why tune queries? So given that information on the architecture, There's certain things that you have no control over, right? Since we're handling the placement of the files and the drives and things like that, there's certain things that you have no control over, right? Where your queries run, how many resources your queries use. Right now, it's a shared environment, right? Meaning that when I execute a query, my queries are fighting for resources that, you know, my database could go on the same physical box as your database, right? So when we're executing queries, we're fighting for resources, right?
Absolutely.
So we're, you know, so how do we, you know, so how do we tune our queries to run better, right? So right now it's shared resources. So you have how many resources do your queries use? How many CPUs and disks are dedicated to you? You have no control over that. We do that. We manage that through the resource governor and things like that, right? You know, when is the server just going to go away, right? At some point, we actually may move your database from one physical server to another to improve performance, right? But you have no control over that, okay? So most performance problems are code or structure related, right? So we do our best to make sure that, you know, you have all the resources to you, but 9 times out of 10, when we get a support phone call, why is my query running bad? Well, send us your query, right?
Or let's see your tables.
Yeah, let's see your tables. Let's look at your indexes, right? Things like that. So this is, you know, Grant's going to talk a lot about this. So a lot of times it's not us, it's you type of scenario, right? Let's look at your indexes. Let's look at your query. You know, what are you doing along those lines, right? And essentially, you know, like one query can run many places, right? So there's some things that we can do there, and what we mean by that is, you know, the execution plans and things like that, right?
Well, mainly I'm also talking about the fact that when you start getting into Windows Azure SQL Database, right, you get to have a 150 gig database, and everybody goes, well, yeah, maybe that's cool, maybe it's not. I mean, I work for an insurance company. We had 5,000 or 6,000 databases under management.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them were less than 150 gigs. So I mean, so we can probably put them all up on the cloud, no problems. But I know some of you guys are out there running 1, 2, 5, 50 terabyte systems, right? You're going to need to do some sort of sharding, breaking up that storage and spreading it across. And as a matter of fact, you're going to want to because it gives you that whole expandable capacity. But then...
distributing your load. Yep.
Then your query is running not on one machine, but on 50.
On 50 machines, right?
And so if your query stinks, oops.
Yeah, so distributed queries, right? So yeah. You may have issues around that. All right. So then the question begs, right, why use SQL Database, right? This is, hopefully you guys, anybody here that's using Windows Azure SQL Database, this should be obvious.
Yeah.
Right? This should be obvious, right? How long does it take to provision a Windows Azure SQL Database server? How long does it take to provision a database, right? So on-premise, yeah, so if I want to provision a server, it's what, 10 seconds? If I want to provision a database, bam, there it is, right? So the speed of delivery, I can, you know, spin, even in SQL in a VM, I can spin up a VM in 3 minutes, right? So getting to from point A to point B is much faster, speed of delivery. Extremely low cost, right? If I'm selling the greatest thing since sliced bread and I want to get that thing up and running, I got to buy all this hardware, right, up front. Well, you know, Azure's pay for what you use. So let me just buy one server, you know, provision one server, scale up if I need to, like we were just talking about, right?
Right, yeah.
Scale up to multiple nodes, and then when I'm done, scale back to the one node, right? So and then just pay for what I use instead of having all this hardware collecting dust and having that up front, right? So cheaper prices, expandable capacity, again, elasticity. Just, you know, let me, unlimited capacity. Let me just scale up and scale down based on my need, right? And then just pay for those resources. This should be obvious. Hopefully, if you guys know Azure, this stuff should be fairly obvious, right?
Yeah, and well, and God, you're not in there on Sunday nights patching the bloody things all the time.
Right, yep. So yeah, and we handle that. You don't have to do that. As much as I know you guys like to do that, you know, we handle that. Right. So one more slide before I turn it over to Grant. You know, what's old is new. So things really don't change. Things that you used to do now still apply. Transactions are as short as possible. Only move the data when you need to move it. This stuff, again, should be fairly obvious. Only move the data when you need to move it. Right. So only move the data that you need to move and only move it when you need to move it. Right. Moving data is you know, there's basically for cost. Right. And latency, right? You want to speed. You want to get this thing up as fast as possible. You want the shortest time. You want to get that latency down and only move that data when you want. And there's costs associated with that. As long as the data stays in the data center, that's free. But if you're doing data center to, you know, movement, there's costs associated with that. get that data as close to the user as possible, but sometimes you got to move data from one data center to the other. There's latency issues, things like that. Not bad, but you know, there's also a cost associated with that. So the key with this then is that last bullet point. Tune your queries, right? Doesn't matter if your data and application are the same thing. Doesn't matter how good you thought you've done. Tune your queries. And what we're going to talk about today is how you do that in Windows Azure.
Right. Can I say one more thing about tune the queries?
Sure. Because
this is my favorite point about Azure. This is just gets me excited at the end of the day. DBAs, when you tune a query, how much money did you save the company? When you tune that query, you don't know, right? When you tune a query here, when you reduce the data returned, or you make the queries run faster so you eliminate deadlocks. By the way, deadlocks, you do know deadlocks are a performance problem first. You eliminate deadlocks, you tune the queries, you make things run faster, you move data only when you need to move it. You are literally saving money for your company. It's not just that you made the CIO happy because his report comes back quicker. You save money doing your job. Huzzah! I mean, seriously, that's a win. That's a huge win. And it's one that you can walk up to your boss and go, I need to tune these queries because I'll save us money. He'll let you then. Instead of usually where they're like, we don't have time for that. It's fine. Buy another hardware.
Right.
You know.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
All right. So connectivity.
Sure. Sorry. Yep. Connectivity. All right. This is not so much query tuning this bit, but it's really, really, really vital that you get this right. Okay? Because this is different, right? This is Azure. This is Azure SQL Database. You are not local. So you need to be concerned about connectivity. You've got to have retry logic built into your system. You can't avoid it. If your code is not written properly, you'll be losing connections. Now, why is this in a query tuning thing? Because if you lose connection partway through a query, you've still moved the data down, you've still paid for it. And you know, I love Microsoft, but I don't want to pay for stuff that I'm not using. I don't want to pay for things that I didn't get. And so if you lose your connections, you're still going to have to retry those queries. If you don't have retry logic, you're going to get all kinds of errors. You're going to get all kinds of problems. And the thing is that there are errors in Windows Azure SQL Database. There are general normal errors, right? Just day-to-day errors. You may have a coding error. You could lose connections. And you can lose connections for a number of reasons. It could just be, you know, your service provider barfed. Right? That never happens. Yeah. Sitting here on Verizon, please God, stay up. You could lose connections because of a failover on the servers on the Azure SQL Database. You could lose connections for any number of reasons. So you've got to make sure that you've got that retry logic in place. I just want to bring that up because it's just so important. Now, a few things that you need to know about the retry logic and query tuning in particular. The reason we're talking connections, the reason we're talking retry logic, is because Microsoft is not stupid. They know that there's going to be a certain population of people. No one in here I know, but those other guys, the ones who chose not to come to Tech Ed, they're writing really crappy queries, okay? They have bad indexes, they're not tuning anything, it's all coming back and it runs, you know, 20-minute queries and all these fun things. Microsoft knows that those people are going to be out there. So it's instituted this thing called throttling. Throttling is nice, clean, and simple. What it does is say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that, and kills the connection. Yay. Now that's good for the rest of us who are tuning our queries and making sure everything's happening. But if you're not tuning your queries, you can get throttled. If you use too many resources, too much tempDB, too much CPU, if you've got a long-running query, if something is just sitting out there chugging and chugging and chugging, Microsoft will disconnect you. They will pop you off. So what happens? You've got this thing, it's running, it's returning all your data, it's returning all your data, it's returning all your data, and then Microsoft kills it. Hey, guess what? You paid for all that download, and now you got to rerun the query anyway. Oops. So this is one of the main reasons you got to tune queries. The good news is, if you start getting connections, if you're seeing these errors coming up where you're losing connections and stuff, you've got someplace to go. You go to SysEvent Log and SysDatabase Connection Stats. Now, these are system views inside of WASD. They're only available there. You don't see them on premises, although I kind of wish You did.
Yeah.
I'll be saying that about several different dynamic management views as we talk today. I kind of wish we had this, but we don't. Anyway, that's the place to go to look for these things. You can see the level of throttling, because there's two kinds of throttling. There's soft and hard throttling. Not that it matters, because you know what happens on soft throttling? Anybody? You get disconnected. You know what happens on hard throttling? You get everybody's catching on. Excellent. Good. You get disconnected. Yeah. So does it matter which one you got? Not really. But, you know, when you call Microsoft up and say, hey, why do you keep disconnecting me? And you can say, I'm getting a hard throttle or a soft throttle, and give them some information. Other than that, right? Let's take a look at it. I'm going to switch over to here. And I'm connected up to Windows Azure SQL Database. You can see that, right? It's big enough. We were in a bigger room on Sunday, and that's how big I had the font, so everybody could see it there. And I'm going to return. Hit Control 1. Now that's normal, because one other disconnect error that you get is an idle connection. So we set all this stuff up, we get everything prepped, we get ready to go, and then it barfs. But I do that on purpose because I'm talking connectivity. But I just retry it, and it'll fire back up and run, and we get the results back. Now let me zoom in a little bit so you can see it. Now what you've got is it's going to be collects this data about every 5 minutes, and you get a little aggregation, and it's going to show you, you know, the events, the event type, start time, end time, all that fun stuff. The main thing you want to look at is over here whether or not your connections are successful, whether or not your connections failed, and if you've got throttling, it's going to show up right there. And that's just the key. If you've got throttling, it's going to show up here. Now, another cool bit that's going to show up here is deadlocks. If you get a deadlock, it will show up here. Further, I don't know if we'll have it still on the screen. I'm not going to do deadlocks in detail today, but we may still have it here from Sunday. Oh, yep, hang on. There we go. I was generating a bunch of deadlocks on Sunday. You get in here, and now you can actually pop it up, and you get the deadlock XML, and you can save this out as a deadlock file, and then open it up and get the full deadlock graph. Everybody seen the deadlock graph and the XML? DBAs know what I'm talking about, right? Hey, anybody here just straight developers? Just curious.
Yeah, most of you.
Wow, cool, excellent. I'd rather have developers than DBAs. I'm a DBA, but I like you guys more. DBAs are mean. Me too, but I don't have to live with myself. Or do I? Yeah. The other place you can go and get some information, and so, I'm sorry, hang on. Looking at it like that's kind of messy. So you're going to narrow it down. Just look at the smaller data set, the data name, the event type, the event subtype. That's where the most interesting information is. And so you can see where I've got successful connections, I've got misconnections, I've got connection failures, blocked by the firewall, and you can see those things coming in. And it's just useful information. Oh, hang on, make it so you can see it. Everybody's out there squinting. So you can see, like, I had a connection fail, and it was blocked by the firewall. I had a connection fail, the client closed, because it was a timeout. It was that dead connection we left in place. It's fun how you can do all the demos just by doing nothing at all. It's great. Wish all of my demos work that way. Now, the other place you can look is the database connection stats. Now, the thing about the database connection stats, I don't find it as useful, frankly. The reason being is it's simply an aggregate. It doesn't give you information about how, where, why you had these failures. All it does is say, yep, you've had 7 successful connections, you've had X number of total failures, you've had X number of terminated connections, and X number of throttle connections. Yeah, thank you. But if you're tracking lots and lots of different databases and you're not trying to troubleshoot, but you're trying to monitor and understand what's going on with your servers, this is where you go. Everybody understand the difference? The detail versus the general? Are we good?
Why do you not see
For when you see the 180 connection limit, you will not be connecting, therefore it won't collect that bit. Well, the success and failure connections that we are seeing here are the ones where you're actually successfully making the connection to the database and then getting rejected for one reason or another. Because if a firewall, so for example, a firewall rule will kick you out. But it will let you get to the database and then say, oh, wait, your IP address is no good, and then kick you out. When you're at the, past that limit, you don't get in at all. So that you can't, you don't register as a failure here. That's the difference. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that that's the end of that. Yep. Back to the slide deck. Any general question on throttling? Oh, hang on. Here's my demo slide. Any other general question on throttling? Cool.
Did you have
yes.
A recommendation on what we try to into your back off,
or no. He asked if I. Linear back off, exponential back off? No, I don't. I don't know. I'm not going to make a suggestion, Scott. That would
so,
be.
So let me just make a general comment about throttling. So you really got to be doing something really, really dumb to get throttled.
Yeah.
Right. So soft.
Well, I've got one exception to that, but go ahead.
Okay. So soft throttling really means you might get disconnected, but a lot of times it'll just say, okay, we're going to prevent you from. We may not kill you, but we may prevent you. We may throttle you yourself and may prevent you from connecting for several seconds, right? So it may just scale you back a minute, right? Hard throttling is, oh, yeah, we're totally going to just disconnect you and prevent you from connecting for a while, right? But you really got to be doing something really stupid to get even to the soft throttling limit, right? Which you're taking a lot of resources, like Grant said.
Oh, right? Yeah. You've got to be. Right. I mean, I think like some of the limits are like you're using like 5 gigs of TempDB.
Yeah, or something like that, right? It's pretty harsh. But the errors you get back, when you get throttled, you're going to get an error back, and there's a code, and we won't get into that here.
There's
a code that comes back, right? Whether it's a hard throttle or soft throttle, that code, if you interrogate, and there's documentation up on MSDN on how to do this, you can interrogate that code, and it'll tell you whether you were soft throttled or hard throttled, and why you were throttled. And based on that information, you can determine, okay, I just need to scale back. So there's no linear, but there's based on that information, you can go, okay, I just need to wait a couple seconds, try again, right? And it's really easy to do. Anybody familiar with the Enterprise Library? Right? If you're not using this, this is your best friend as far as throttling, right?
Right.
One line of code to implement a, and it's solvable through NuGet, really easy. One line of code to define your policy, and it's just a wrapper around the SQL connection. So it's, I think it's SQL reliable. A reliable SQL connection class, right? It's just a wrap around that, and you just apply that policy to your connection, and it'll filter down to the command, right? At that point in your try-catch block, just if you get throttled in your catch, why did you get to interrogate the error code and say, all right, what do I need to do?
Right. The exception is, by the way, index rebuilds if you've got really big indexes.
Okay.
That's just because Microsoft isn't kind to us all the time. Anyway. All right, so we'll move on to tools.
All right, cool.
There you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about, okay, we understand on-premise, we understand the tools that we can use to tune queries on-premise. How does that translate into when I'm tuning queries in the cloud, right, Windows Azure SQL Database? So SQL Server Management Studio, the SQL Database Management Portal, and the DMOs.
DMO.
Right? Yeah, DMOs. Those are our best friends. All right, so we're going to start with the SQL Server Management Studio. You guys are developers, you guys are DBAs, you know SQL Server Management Studio. This is, again, a no-brainer, right? Connectivity is required, you can get statistics I/O, open up Object Explorer, you get statistics time, execution plans, the query window, things like that, right? All these are available for you to use. What you use today, you can use against Windows Azure SQL Database, right? Now, beyond that, not much else, right? But it's there. Right? Take advantage of that, right? Did I miss anything?
No,
right?
No, it's perfect.
So everything's there. We're going to actually open up the demo and show you how to do that. Because you can still do estimated execution plans, actual execution plans, everything there. Because it is SQL Server. That's why we fired up the architecture slide. It is SQL Server, so everything we use today on-prem works with Windows Azure SQL Database, okay?
Well, but you got to make them cry before you move on.
What's that?
You have to make them cry before you move on. Well, because you have to tell them what they don't get.
What we don't have?
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Well, anybody hear him say trace?
Oh, I did. Yes, you're right. So, yeah.
Did anyone hear him
say? Yeah. So, whose side?
Did anyone hear him say extended events?
Yeah.
No. So you don't get those. And speaking as a DBA developer, database developer, whatever the heck my title would be these days, shame.
Yeah. Well, so.
But there's good reasons why you don't get it. It has to do with the architecture. I understand it. I just don't like it. Yeah.
So what do you typically do?
We'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
Your options are limited, but they are not completely gone.
And yes, you might be shedding a few tears, right? However, this stuff, you know, when Windows Edge SQL Database first came out, a lot of stuff wasn't there. So you'll see, like, there's limited SMO, limited DMO, but you'll see, you know, how often do they upgrade Windows on-premise SQL Server?
Right? A little too often, but only a couple every year.
Right. How often do they update Windows Azure SQL Database? Yeah, pretty often. So they're continually adding features and things like that, right? So things that weren't there a couple months ago are there, and so they will add features. They'll add some of these features that aren't there. You'll see, no time frame, but you'll start seeing some of these things.
Yeah, they assure us things are coming, and I believe them because I'm seeing stuff all the time. By the way, if anybody here ever present anybody ever in the office or whatever, not to be in public, do things change under your feet as you're presenting? They do here. You open up a window and go, oh, huh, never saw that before. That's new.
Yeah.
That's a fun moment in front of a crowd.
You demo it one day, and the next day your demo's different because it changed.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Ish.
Cool-ish. All right, so let's do a quick demo on SQL Server Management Studio, right? So here we have SQL Server Management Studio. And notice that, like Grant said, so we're not going to get too deep here, right? But this is just, we've connected to, our Windows Azure SQL Database server. Not a biggie. But notice that, when I open a query window, like let's pick one of Grant's queries here, right? I still have the ability to do, right? What are these buttons? Right, I still have the ability to do estimated and actual against Windows Azure SQL Database, right? So I can take a look at this and say, where's it at? Display estimated execution plan, right? Oh, got
it's okay. Yeah, it's timeout. No big deal.
No biggie. All right, so let's take a look at that. Executing query. Where's my execution plan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's executing. Oh, it's still executing. Right? But again, so it's still executing the query. But again,
you picked a bad one.
I picked a bad one.
Let's stop that junk. Let's switch to this window. You want to show what the estimated plan?
Sure.
It's also, you got to remember, we're going through this.
Right.
The you can't see it back there. It's a little MiFi.
Right. So notice here. So the query executed, and there's our execution plan. And there we go. Right. So we still hit. We ran our query. We still get the execution plan. All the great icons. All the great information that you get on premise, you still get in the cloud. Right. So we're not going to dive into these individually. Unless Grant wants to step in, but. This is, right, so this, again, the point of this is, look, it's SQL Server Management Studio. It is SQL Server. You still get all the great tools and features as far as troubleshooting and looking at query execution plans in SQL Server Management Studio, right? Does that make sense? So this is, again, no-brainer. This isn't anything right? This is just, it works. All the tools you use on-prem still works, right?
Including, you go in here, you look at the Explorer, you get the tables, and it's not quick, but there it goes. Drag and drop. It all works the same, right? There's just no difference. If you right click, you look at the proper query options. You can get into the advanced. I have them always. I have them on. Automatically, all my systems have them set. Statistics time on. Set statistics IO on. It's all there. So all your normal data collection, all your normal methodologies for query tuning are in place. So in short, your knowledge set is ready. Already for moving to WASD.
Right.
It's great.
Awesome. Yep, and we're going to get, this is, yes?
Is there a particular reason that
Intel, my machine's probably in a bad demo. Hang on.
don't look at the screen for a second while I turn something off.
How do you disable it? There, disable code suggestions and turn these on, right? Come on. Oh, it doesn't.
Oh, well, then you should go to a third-party tool. I know one that works. If you want to talk later.
So I think it's a lot of the same reasons why a lot of the, you know, if you do right mouse click new table, right, you
get, yes,
you know, a lot of the, because there's a, it's a subset, limited set of SMB.
Yeah, you like don't that, get right? the full GUI, right? Right. He was just right. saying, you know, if you hit new table, it's not this pretty flashy window that pops up. It gives you T-SQL.
Yep. You create database, create table, create, you know, you don't get it. It's T-SQL. And I think a lot of the same reasons, right? Well, it comes, you know, yes, third-party tools, just supported things like that, right?
I didn't say anything.
It's
in the recording.
I didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything. All right, let's go back. All right, so any questions about SSMS? The whole, again, very simple demo, but just the whole point out, because we will get to 200, 300 level deeper stuff here in a minute. Just want to point out that, look, it is SQL Server, so a lot of the tools you use still work. So let's talk the SQL Database Management Portal. Who here has wished that there was a, we'll call it a, maybe a light or web-based version of SQL Server Management Studio? One? Two?
God.
You're all lying.
I agree.
Right? Yeah, so, come on. Yeah, so, this is what SQL Database Management Portal is, right? So, it's SQL, and, you know, as you saw on the screen for SQL Server Management Studio, it is limited, right? But you can still do, like, you know, create a database, logins, a lot of security features and things like that, right? And we're not going to get into the differences between on-prem and Windows Azure SQL Database, but it's SQL Server Management Studio, right? So you can do a lot of the things. However, I know most of us has wished that, you know what, it'd be nice to have a web-based version of this product somewhere where I could just fire up a browser, good to go, right? This is what the SQL Database Management Portal is. We'll call it a SQL Server Management Studio Lite, right? It does a lot of the features that you can do in SQL Server Management Studio. Now, you can't create a server, you can't create a database, but you can create tables, views, store procedures, look at execution plans, write queries, insert data, do a lot of the things that you can do in SQL Server Management Studio. You can monitor your data, look at statistics, you can run a query window, you can look at execution plans, look at the statistics I/O. All these things in this browser, right? So let's actually do a demo. Oh, and then
not
the portal
quite.
Monitor, right? Jumped ahead. Right, so the portal monitor, this is the Windows Azure Management Portal,
yeah.
Right, where you can monitor connections and throttles and look at some of the statistics coming back, failed connections, succeeded connections, things like that, right? It's the Windows Azure Management Portal doesn't, you know, this is where you create your server and your database, but beyond that, it does give you some metrics as you can look to see what's going on, right? So let's, at that point, jump out and look at the monitor and the SQL Database Management Portal.
Okay, I was just going to log you in real quick. You
okay.
got ahead of me. All right.
Oh, sorry.
Never type during demos.
What's that?
As people type, right?
People.
Yeah, that's what I always say.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah. Remember, we're professionals. No one believes that, right? Now I typed the password wrong.
Oh, give me a second. Yeah. Try again.
Okay. You don't have to do it usually, but.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. You want to start with the monitor and then just log
yeah,
in?
Yeah, so let's look at the monitor,
yeah,
right? So this is the Windows Azure. You guys have seen the Windows Azure Management Portal, right? So this is the Windows Azure Management Portal, and I can basically pick a database. So let's look at the Windows AdventureWorks one.
Sure.
So AdventureWorks, I can go in here, and then we have what's called the dashboard and the dashboard monitor, and a lot of these are the same. But in the dashboard, I can look at deadlocks, failed connections, and successful connections, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at the relative period, relative absolute, and you know, given a 6-hour, 24-hour, 7-day, right? So a quick glance into do I have locks and how are my connections going, failed or success, right? But what I really want to look at is my monitor tab, because I get a lot of the same information here, but I also get a better look into things like, so I have successful connections, I have failed connections, and deadlocks, but I also have a few other pieces of information, which is what?
Throttle
connections and blocked by the firewall, right? So I don't have to look at any DMVs. I can just, you know, I can do an initial look into the portal and say, what's going on? Right? This is awesome because I don't have to fire up SQL Server Management Studio. I can open the portal and go get a snapshot look for any given time to say what's going on with my database or what's going on with my server. Right? Here is the database. Right? So again, I can be granular as to, you know, what's my, you know, 6-hour period, 24-hour period, things like that. Right? But this is a good indication right out of the gate to say, do I have an issue with my database? Right out of the gate. Right? So. Let me jump back, and so to get into the SQL Database Management portal, right? Let me scroll down here, and right here in the, it's called the Manage URL, right? So select your database, scroll down, there's a Manage URL. I'm going to just click that, and it opens up in a new window. I'm going to type in the username and password.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get it right this time. Obviously, it's Cloud Admin, right?
This is a test.
Secure passwords. What will we do? Yeah. Oh, it's taken too long. It's already connecting. It's cool. If it fails instantly. If it takes like 4 or 5 seconds, that's because it's connecting up.
Yep. So, any questions so far? While we wait.
Yeah, that should have been faster than that.
Yes.
I am going to be talking about indexing, some of the index stuff a little bit, and statistics and all that, but the basic scheduling, you've got two options. You've got three. You can build a scheduler through app code and put that out on Azure. Four. That's one option. Second option is you can connect directly from, as you've already seen, Management Studio up to Azure, so you could create a job inside of your local Management Studio and tell it to go to Azure and make these commands occur. Number three is there are third-party tools available, but number four, the more interesting one, is you could put up an Azure VM and connect from the Azure VM over to the Azure instance and then manage it through a SQL agent there. And that's actually, I find that one kind of interesting because it gives you the capability to gather metrics and all kinds of other things off of your Azure databases without paying the cost of downloading.
That's the key. That would be the key.
Right? That's the really cool bit.
Yeah.
So,
and that would be the recommended approach, right? Create your, yeah, you're paying for a VM, but it's not that expensive, right? Just put up an extra small instance of the VM that's got SQL in it, create your job there, and then everything's up in the cloud. Right, you don't have data coming and going, right?
Yeah.
If you don't want to do that, then you know, just you, like Grant said, I think option two would be on-prem SQL Server Management Studio. Create your job there because you can connect to Windows Azure SQL Database and run your job, right? But then, you know, you might have the cost of pulling down. So you'd have to do the math and say what is going to be the least expensive option for you, right?
And I have seen people doing the app code up, write an application that does the scheduling and put that up on Azure. I've seen it done that way.
Yeah, right. You're basically write your own agent.
Yeah.
Right. That would be. You know, the very low number three. Okay. All right, so this is the Windows Azure SQL Database Management Portal, right? And notice I get my summary, so I get right out of the gate. Here's my, you know, what's it created, kind of the what you see in SQL Server Management Studio. But this is my overview page. But from an administration standpoint, right, I can go and come on.
You're in the administration screen.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
there's the overview.
So I can go into design, and basically here's my design. So, again, tables, views, store procedures, right? I can create, modify, add data, write queries. But again, the concept here is on administration, I can do query performance. So I can do a new query, and there right out of the gate, it tells me on this query performance page, here's the last few queries I've run and what's going on with them. Okay? Awesome. Right? I don't have to query anything, it tells me what they are. And if I want to run a query, new query, and there, as you can see, right out of the gate, right, there's my actual and estimated execution plan. That was an awesome circle.
That was a good circle.
Right? Kind of an ellipsoid type of thing, right? But again, so I still have the same tools as I have in SQL Server Management Studio right there in the game. Now, the icons are a little different, and I think we're running out of time, so we're going to move on. But here's the concept is that, again, I got right out of the gate. If I want to, I can go to the administration page. look at my query performance, and there it lists the last 10 queries I ran with all the information about how do I know how they performed and things like that. Right? Does that make sense? This is awesome. This is a great tool for you to just take a great snapshot and go, what's going on? And if you want to determine, right, and then if you want to look at your queries, write a new query, and then run a query, look at the estimated or actual execution plans, and debug from there.
Right.
Right? Okay. Any questions? Yes. We'll get then and then you. Go ahead. Do you also need, I'm sorry?
He says, do we need blocking session information? I'll talk about that.
Stay tuned.
You're not going to be completely happy. Right, I'd be lying if I said anything else.
Go ahead.
Do you know if there are any plans to release a standalone version of that web portal so you can connect to an on-premise database rather than
actually? Not immediately. Not in their near future.
Right. You're the one answering that question.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, not in the near future. All right. So, because this is just, you know, since it's launched from the Windows Azure Management Portal, it pulls in the connection information, so it's looking at that. This is, you know, we've only kind of skimmed the surface, because if you've got scalability information, this shows is actually quite full-featured, because it looks at all your partitions and you get a lot of information. You can actually expand your databases and things like that right through here. But it does not right now do anything for on-prem.
And right now it's still running in Silverlight.
Yeah. We won't throw any stones for that.
Sure we will.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about the Azure Pack downstairs. I think that's a correct statement, right? He's asking about the Azure Pack. Is it just for the cloud? Yes, it's not. I'm pretty sure. We'll validate that. Let's talk after. But I'm pretty sure, yes, it's just for Windows Azure. It does not do on-prem. Right? I saw another hand. All right. Okay, cool. Let's keep going.
Cool. You can probably skip that. That's because you just ran through it already.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Every time I do the presentation, I do the same thing. So I probably should rearrange the slides.
All right,
so portal execution plans. Me. Ha, cool. Portal execution plans. Let's talk. Execution plans are execution plans. Anybody here? Who here has never opened up an execution plan? Good. God, that's usually I get at least four or five people going, what are those? Good.
Or they're too afraid to admit it.
Yeah, well, it could be. Okay. If you're able to, if you're used to it, you're probably going to use Management Studio, and that's great. If you've got some reason why you have to go into the portal and you're going to do query tuning and you want to look at execution plans, they've got it built in. Not only have it built in, but it's got a whole bunch of extra stuff. They are graphical. It is still XML behind the scenes. There are still property sheets. And it's got this really cool thing called highlighting. I hope we see in the on-premises 2014. I hope there's some updates there. I can't wait for the bits in my fingers on June 26th. Yay! Sorry, I get excited. It's the stuff you're used to. It's nothing shocking, nothing weird. It's just completely and utterly rearranged. Okay? Let's play. By the way, Scott is not spending enough money. So we're going to spend some more money for Scott.
We're using my account.
Yeah, we're using his account. And I'm just firing up this little PowerShell script that runs a few queries and pulls all the data down. Meaning I'm pulling data out of the Azure thing, and so I'm costing him cash. This is great. I love doing this. All right. Here's the deal. I've got queries and I can run them. Fairly traditional query, right? I realize everyone's queries are actually much more sophisticated than this, much more complicated, but this is a generic view of what a query looks like, yes? Select some columns from a table, join those tables, put a where clause in. Please God, put a where clause in when you're connecting against Azure, okay?
And do not do a select star.
No one's shocked by this query. Cool. Let's go to Azure and play with it. Oh, maybe we should go to the management portal. And yeah, I can open queries from here, open file save, all that fun stuff. What we're going to do is we're going to go for an actual plan on this one. So we get the results back. It returns a whole row of information. And then we get a query plan. Looks just like we're used to seeing, right? Well, I can make it worse. There we go. Now we have no clue what's going on. Does anybody? Come on, it's easy. Look, I can tell you. These right here, these are index seeks. These are loop joins. And that's the select statement. And these are functions. Right? Everybody's looking at me funny. It's actually kind of nice the way they've got it laid out. If you've got these large execution plans, you can zoom in, zoom out really smoothly, much better than on the on-prem stuff. And once you're in there, stop it. Silverlight. Once you zoom in adequately, it changes over and you do get better information. Not only do you see the costs, but you actually get to see what those things are. So it is clustered index seek. Those are loop joins. I said functions, but they're compute scalar operators. All cool stuff. Useful? Maybe, maybe not. Here's where it starts to get fun. You've got over here, you've got this little thing called sort by. See this bit? Sort by allows you to change the way it's displaying the information. Now, these are estimated values, right? This is an actual plan, yes. But even the actual plans, these are estimated values. These are not actual values. You know that, right? And so when it says CPU and I/O, as it does, that's not an actual measure of CPU. That's just the measure of the estimates based on the statistics for this plan. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Good. But they're the only numbers you get. So you're going to be using them. And the ability to break it down and look at it either by CPU or by I/O and rearrange the way it's displayed, or by total, and see exactly which ones are using more, which ones are doing less, is pretty cool. Now, it's funny because it says sort, but it's not actually sorting, you'll note. All it's doing is displaying the other information and highlighting. And so, which is why on the slide I said highlighting, because I hate the fact that they say sorting, because it's not sorting anything. It's highlighting stuff. Some other things that they've got is the ability to go in here and identify all the seeks. So you'll notice the colors change from red to blue. So the ones that I was looking for, because all I did was click over here, and it shows those. If I want to say, oh, let me find all the merge joins, well, I don't have any merge joins, so I didn't find any. But I can go over and find, let me locate all the nested loop joins. See? And then it highlights those in blue. And so you've got all that capability. So it's all the stuff that you're used to seeing, but with added ability to dig in. And when you, if you've got larger execution plans, and let's face it, in general, you're not going to be, well, hopefully not, going to be tuning something this small most of the time. Hopefully you got this one right, you know, in theory. You're going to be going with larger plans. And this ability to break these things down inside here in some ways makes this more useful than Management Studio, frankly. And that's not a lie. I'm saying that on purpose. When I've got big plans that I'm running against Azure, I can go in here and actually get more things done quicker. Here's one of the things I don't like. No tooltip. Actually, I like that. I hate the tooltips. The tooltips are awful. They're evil. Don't use them. What's important, though, is to use properties. So if I click on one of these operators, I get a property sheet. Except what I don't get is a property sheet. That's not a property sheet. That's the tooltip. Wait, hold, come here. Yeah. I've actually got a Microsoft person on stage I can slap around for once. That's the tooltip. What they've got is a little button down here, view more. I have to click on that, and now I've got the interesting bits, right? I can go in here and see what level of optimization was done on this execution plan. It's showing as full. What was the reason for termination? This one says good enough plan found. In theory, Microsoft has already set this up. The optimizer has already done its job. It did full optimization. I've got good enough plan found. I can walk away from this query probably if I don't identify anything else in there that may be a problem thing. If you may have index scans instead of seeks, and it's still a good enough plan because you don't have a good index. That's not Microsoft's fault, right? But it's the ability to get into here, into the properties, into the details inside, and actually see what's going on that makes this thing really, really useful. And it's the same stuff that you get in SSMS. It's just I have to click the mouse twice. Sorry, I'm lazy, and it bothers me. So here's what I'm going to do. Oops. I'm going to make sure that I click here at least once, and I'm going to do save as. And I'm going to say plan warrant seed backup, okay? We'll say tech, never type, tech ed plan, save. I'm going to go back over to Management Studio. I'm going to open it up. Let's find the C:\backup. Come on. Hurry up. Anybody see it? Aha, there it is. Wait, what? Oh, come on, I did it right. Click once, save as. Change the name like you're supposed to, and I didn't do. There we go. That'll work. There we go. And now you've got the plan in here. Why? Because the plans are the same. It's SQL Server. So the XML that's behind the plan here is the XML that's behind the plan up on the cloud. It's no different. The information is exactly the same. So you can pull this stuff out and go to work on it. Any questions on this bit? This one's important, because you can move these things around, jump them up and down, do whatever you need to do. You can even open them up in third-party products. If anybody's familiar with a third-party product that does really cool things with execution plans, this works there. I've tested it. That's not mine. I'm not selling that one. It's actually a competitor of mine, but they do cool stuff too. It works, right? So any questions? Cool.
Just helpful.
I mean, it should be, because the whole idea is that your knowledge base, I mean, everybody out here said they've opened execution plans. That means you already know how to do a lot of this stuff. It's great. All right, let's start getting into more fun stuff. DMOs. This is where things get important. You don't have trace. You don't have extended events. So the one thing that you do have to get at your information are the dynamic management objects. That makes them even more important than they were before. Blocking, which I'll talk about in just a minute. You're going to have to go through the DMOs. That's your option, your only option. And I know that it's not quite the same, and I know it doesn't give you that full-blown blocking report that you are used to. Sorry. Don't have it. There's a few things you need to know about data about the DMOs before we move on to into the details. First off, they are all, each and every single DMO you're looking at is a database-level DMO. No system-level DMO, no system-level information available to you. Even the ones that you think are actually system level, sysdm exec requests, for example, is not here. It's filtered down to your database. Okay, so you'd only see your stuff. The resets occur on move, meaning the failovers that occur, because there is no reboot, restart, attach, detach. None of that stuff happens anymore, right? We're in SQL Azure Database, so the resets occur during that period. And one little bit that makes me crazy, when you run the queries up in Azure and you say you want to run a query against the cache, pull back the execution plan from the cache in the WASD, in the Azure SQL database, it gets back the XML and you can't click on it. Sorry, I know it's a little thing, but little things make me crazy. Just me? Okay, well, never mind. If the big stuff's working, I don't care. All right, let's talk wait states, right? What's the most important way to do monitoring? What's the most important way to start configuring your systems to understand what's running slow? Somebody say something. Okay. Fine. Wait set. So I was going to move it to there after they... Yeah, now they can read the slide.
Sorry.
Wait stats. Okay. You've got two levels of wait stats that you can look at. You can look at sysdm exec requests and see what waits are occurring as they are occurring. And they've got a new DMO just for us. It's only on Azure right now, SysDMDB weight stats. And that's database by database weight stats, which is awesome. Just awesome stuff because you get to see your database weight stats. I want this on the on-premise product. I want this on the on-premise product. I want this on the on-premise product. I'm happy we have it here, but I need it there too. I want to know what my weights are per database. Because right now your weights on the local machine are OS, meaning everything. And there's no way to differentiate unless you go in and do all kinds of other funky monitoring or buy some third-party tool to do it for you. There's a couple of special weight stats that you need to be aware of, the ones that are going to come up that you're going to see and you're going to be confused by and that are not actually that big a deal. And they are the replication weights, SE-REPL slow secondary throttle, SE-REPL commit acknowledged. These are the replication weight stats. These are the weights occurring as, when he gave that overview of the architecture, you know that you don't actually have one database, right? You've got a virtual database or, I don't know.
You have primary replicas, right?
Yeah, but you've got three databases.
Yeah.
Every single time you create a database, you get three. And every time you insert data into one of them, it gets inserted in the other two. You've got two secondary replicas occurring all the time, and it's constant and nonstop. But there are weights associated with that process. Those are them. Those REPL slow and the REPL commit. The commit acknowledge is pretty simple. That's the one that says, you know, hey, everything's moved over, we're good, right? Be aware of these because you will see them. The ones you expect to see, right, are the ones you're going to see, which is resource semaphore for what? Come on, Vicky. Resource semaphore, what's that one come up for? We have four. Sorry? Resource semaphore weights, when do you get those? Memory. IO latch, anybody? Disks, yeah. SOS scheduler yield, when's that one occur? CPU, okay, cool. So the normal weights that you expect to see, the ones you should, they're gonna come up. All right, let's take a look at the queries though. Let's close that. Let's switch to here. No, we don't need to save the stupid thing that the stupid idiot did. Oh, and by the way, since, sir?
The slow secondary weight count?
Yeah?
Twice this year so far, I've gotten the lowest support about that. And the feedback I got from them was I was seeing that because there was a hardware failure in the secondary that had triggered the failover
unit.
Huh. And above the secondary port. Now, is that?
That's pretty cool.
Well,
one, I'm not an internal guy at Microsoft, so I don't know. Is that likely? Sure, that one's likely. I have not seen that one, but I have seen the slow REPL weights. I've seen those a lot in all the work that I've done with it. I mean, it's definitely. Right, yeah, well, I've had very few support calls. The one support call I've had, I'll talk about in a minute because it still makes me angry. I'll share it. By the way, all the DMOs are based on what? All query DMOs. Cache. A couple of things about cache. Are you on the server alone? No. You're sharing it with probably a lot of other databases, right? Cache is highly volatile. Highly volatile. And if you have something like that, is that going cache?
No.
So trace is not there. Extended events are not there. You are dependent upon system exec requests. And guess what? It's going to miss stuff. If you are expecting to get the granular moment-by-moment query observations, give that up, okay? That's not going to be there. You've got to like step back, take a little leap, rearrange your thought processes, and understand that you can't see every query as it occurs because some of them are not going to show up. All right, moving on. SysDMDB weight stats. Nice, simple query, not even complicated, but it shows me my weights for my database. right? And so you see the page latches, you see, you know, the SOS scheduler yield, all that stuff is already in there. Heck, you even see network async IO. You're going to see the waits occurring while it waits to go through this stupid MiFi device. It's all going to go on through the same processes that you would expect to see. Any shocks there? Any questions? All right, moving on. Right. That's it for wait stats. I just want to mainly... I hit Alt-Tab because I'm so used to having the slides in front of me, not on the second machine. That's weird. All right. Oh, yeah, my demo slide. I always forget my demo slides. Bad presenter. All right, the query DMOs. System exec query exec requests, still there, exactly as you'd expect to see it. Returns exactly what you expect to see, the actively running queries on your database. System exec query stats, it's going to show what's currently in cache, which, as we've just said, is highly volatile, aggregated over the number of executions that have been able to occur while it's in cache. By the way, we've got a series of queries running right now. We'll see how many of them are in cache, right? Because we're running up Scott's bill on Azure. Anybody else excited about that? Come on. We're costing Microsoft money. As you sit here, you are sitting here and enjoying Microsoft losing cash. Come on. System exec SQL text, exactly what you expect. It pulls back the SQL text. Query plans, it pulls the query plan back. Query plan text, it pulls back the query plan XML as a text object. Why would you care about that one? Because it's a lot easier selecting against a text object sometimes and doing searches through that than trying to do X query, X path queries. So if you don't like one of the, give me all my scans, you can run a select, or do I have a scan, or do I have a timeout, or you know what other kind of things are occurring inside my execution plans, you can go in there, do a quick query, and pull back some information. If you need detailed, oh gosh, I need to see exactly what's going on, then you gotta start writing that X path stuff, okay? But the plan text gives you that easy way to get at the stuff. Yes? No DBCC input buffer. That is a system call. Matter of fact, DBCCs, you get one. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Hey, I remembered to do my demo slide. Everybody cheer. All right, let's take a look at queries. Now, hopefully we'll capture one because we've got a whole bunch running. We may not. I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. Nope, never do, seldom do. Hang on, I'll try one more time. I've got to extend the length on those queries. I've got to make them uglier. I've got to cost you more money. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
More money.
We'll work on it. I'm not going to drill down into this because you should know this. If you don't, who here is not using DMOs? It's okay to raise your hand, it's all right. Nobody's going to throw rocks. Dynamic management
tomatoes.
Objects. Yeah, tomatoes, not rocks. It's New Orleans. Beads, they'll throw beads. All right, no one wants to raise their hand. Okay. Sorry. And obviously you can go against the query stats, pull that back information back. It's the stuff you expect to see. It's not very useful, right? All right, let's put it together and make it more useful. Now what you do is you say, all right, I want to see, except my... I don't like that like quit statement anymore, so I'm going to take that out. That's from my other database. Oh, okay. So now what I'm doing is I'm combining query stats, query plan, and SQL text. I'm doing the substring to break it out so I get individual statements, and then I get the execution time, worker time, physical reads, all that fun stuff. Let's just run this one without the where clause. And the results that come back should be kind of fun. As soon as it gets back, there we go. Cool. Now, I've got this query running in the background, right? It's been running pretty much nonstop the whole time we've been talking here for quite some length of time. And you can see the various statements from the various queries that are occurring, select star from, blah, 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 blah. But the point I want to make is the execution count itself. How many executions have we had of these things? 59. Trust me, the loops that are running through that PowerShell script have executed that probably 300 or 400 times at least by now, if not, you know, upwards of 1,000 or more. Why is that so low? Because the cache is highly volatile. I can't emphasize that enough. It does limit your capability to monitor servers this way. Yeah, you can go in here and get some information. You can go in here and see what the queries are doing. You do have the capability, right? It's the same stuff you're used to using. It's the same tool set that you've got, but it's different, right? It's just different, and you need to know that, like, really, really down to the dirt underneath your fingernails, okay? Don't expect it to be the same, because it's not. The architecture is different, even though it's SQL Server. It's not bad, mind you. It works great. It's fantastic. I love it. But no, it's different. Yes? I couldn't quite hear you. I'm sorry. Well, it's not so much the execution plan itself that's volatile, or all the statistics that are volatile. It's the number of executions. It's the fact that the stuff is... The times, the measurements are accurate. Yeah, the measurements are accurate. It's just that you don't get a full set of measurements because instead of having, 1,000 executions, I've got 50 because it's actually aged out of cache a couple of times during those 1,000 executions, which is really kind of weird when you think about it if you're used to the on-premise database. Okay, it just works differently. This is another query, same kind of idea. The only thing I did here was is I did go against SQL text, as I said, and I'm looking for a particular string, statement optimization early abort reason equals timeout. What's that? That's simply a quick way to query your cache and see if, you have queries that have gone through the optimizer but timed out prior to getting a good plan. This is just a really simple query to pull that stuff together. Nothing complex, nothing rocket science, but it makes things real easy. Now, probably if I run this, we will get nothing, but we'll see. Or if I do get it, it'll probably be system queries that come back.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, no, there is the one. So this one query here, it is one I wrote to try to make it ugly. That one is timing out. Oh, no, actually, that's not even one I wrote. That's from... by the way, who here uses AdventureWorks and says, oh, gosh, AdventureWorks doesn't reflect reality at all? Anybody ever said that? Yeah, it does, because it's structured poorly. The queries are really crappy. The indexing is not very good. Oh, my God, does it reflect reality? Are you kidding? That's exactly what most of the databases I get called in to mess with look like. They look like AdventureWorks. And so it's, anyway, sorry, that's a side note. But, yeah, that's code from AdventureWorks at time. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't write it.
Yeah. It sounds like me. It's not my fault. I didn't do that thing. All right. Any questions on that? Cool. Let's move on to indexes. We've got 7 minutes. Cool. We're going to start talking faster. SysDM DB index operational stats. What's that show? Anybody? Okay. Shows the stuff occurring on your indexes on the fly. SysDM index physical stats. What's that show? Shows the distribution of the indexes. How many times it's been accessed? How many times it's been scanned? Oh, I'm sorry. Shows the distribution of the indexes. Index usage stats shows how many times it's been accessed. How many times it's been scanned? These are exactly the way you would expect to see them. I'm going to run a couple of the queries just so you can see it, but it's not rocket science. This bit is not magic. Okay, there's nothing special here because this information is more or less kept intact. Yeah. So I'm selecting information from index operational stats. I'm joining to objects. I'm joining to indexes. And I'm going, hang on. That would be a problem. AdventureWorks 2012. There we go. Never, ever type during demos. And it returns the results, and it's literally the stuff you would expect to see. Now, this information is kept. It's not cache dependent. It is kept with the database. Unless you have a failover occur, this stuff is all accurate and up to date. And it's going to show you literally the number of times you've had the page IO latch count, the number of times you've had the waits, the number of times you've had the other things that it's going to show. Okay? So there's no surprises, no shocks here. It's real straightforward. Everybody okay with that one? All right. I'm not going to run this one. The main point I want to point out here is that you can go in here and get all the information. I went for the database, or I can go down and drill in and get a particular object. It works exactly the same way as you're used to seeing. There's no shocks. Okay, this is literally the stuff you see. Here is the one deal that you may want to do. I'm going to alter the index here. Oh, no, that's wrong. That's wrong for the wrong table. Well, anyway, the one thing I do want to point out is that when you do alter indexes, please, please, please use online equals on. You must. You don't have to, but you must. Because if you don't use online equals on, here's my one favorite support call. Even if you do use online equals on, if you've got a big enough index, when you do the rebuilds, you're going to do what? Rebuilding an index is doing what? It's sorting, resorting the data. Where does the sort occur? TempDB. What's one of the throttling points? Using TempDB. So you can use too much TempDB when rebuilding a large index. So if you've got an index of, you know, 550 gigs, say, and you're going to resort that index, the limit on TempDB is 5 gigs, I think, five, you know, somewhere around there, but whatever. It's less than 50.
Much like, yeah.
Oops. Yeah, there's nothing like trying to rebuild indexes and getting throttled. That was a fun support call. Really? I think I said that a lot. Online helps. Does it overcome it? No, it does not. Not if your index is big enough, but it helps. It makes it, I got over the hump for one of my indexes and I didn't for the other. What I had to do was I dropped and don't worry. You can get past it, but it's a pain. Don't go there. All right, so if I want to see index usage stats, I can pull that information back in. It runs just fine. No shocks. Again, no shocks, no surprises. It's the stuff you expect to see as soon as it returns. Dun, 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 dun. I'm getting old. I'm getting really old. Okay, well, since this is the stuff you expect to see, let's just stop it and ignore it. Transport error, cool. Right. And last, the one DMO that you gotta, thing that you gotta know is DBCC show stats. I'm not gonna run it. Again, if you've seen DBCC show stats, it looks the same. It returns three sets of data, the header, the distribution, and the, the histogram. Okay. All exactly the same as you expect to see it. This is your one DBCC command, live it, learn it, love it, okay? Other than that, you don't get DBCC anymore of any kind, ever. And I'm kind of happy about that. I don't want to have to run consistency checks on a regular basis. I'm lazy.
And we do that for you.
Yeah, I know. Microsoft does it for me. I'm happy. So you run that and you get it back. That's pretty much it. Query tuning in Azure is query tuning.
It's query tuning.
Right? So in conclusion, hopefully we hit the three goals. That was the main aim, was to try to hit these 3 points, give you an idea of what's going on, give you an idea of how things work. Oh, and the block session, sir, system exec request. That's your only option. I hope we hit these things. Some of the resources you want to look at, I have this slide deck, a whole bunch of others up at scarydba.com/resources. My book on query performance tuning that I wrote is completely applicable as long as we're not talking any of the OS level events. Everything for query tuning is exactly the same. It hasn't changed at all. Performance tuning with dynamic management views by Lewis Davidson and Tim Ford. If you're not DMO experts, that's okay. Go get the book and you will be, right? It's a great way to use it. Most of those DMOs are applicable, at least the query tuning ones. And Connor Cunningham and who was the other author?
Oh, there's quite a few. There was Thomasy.
Windows, Azure, SQL databases, and SQL Server performance and scalability compared to contrasted. Nice, clear title. Obviously written by super duper incredible genius academics. I mean, they really are. They're geniuses. But good God, talk English. That is a white paper on Microsoft, and it is fantastic. It is a great read. I strongly recommend it. I do want to put up the contact information again at the end. Please, if you have questions, get in touch. Scott?
Oops. That's all right.
All right. Scott also wants to get in touch. Was this going to work? Complete an evaluation and win. Oh, we don't have the...
We don't have the tag.
Oh, okay. Oops. Well, complete an evaluation and win. No, but thanks for coming out. Take away nothing else. One, you already know what to do, mostly. Two, you save your company money. And that's just, my God, that's just, how nice is that?
Yep. Awesome.
What else you got? Anything?
So was this helpful? Okay. So the whole concept was, like we talked about, is that it's really not that different. It's just knowing the tools to use, what's available, and how to do this in the cloud, right? So hopefully it would accomplish that. If there's any questions, we'll be here after. We'll be down at the booth. But thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the booth all afternoon.
Happy to answer questions.